Hey friends, welcome to New in 22. I am blown away that every day I hear of other people jumping on board this. We're well over 750 people who are doing this New in 22 challenge, and we're going to grow in knowledge. It's not all about knowledge, though. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but we're going to grow closer to Christ because of the time we spend studying His Word. Well, it's Tuesday, and we're jumping into John chapter 5 today. So I hope you're reading this in your paper Bible, as I have been encouraging you to do, so you can take notes in the margins, you can highlight, you can underline, all of those things that you can do online when you're reading the Bible. But these, you'll notice when you open your Bible next time, you'll notice exactly what God was saying to you when you do that. So today, you're going to be reading about a healing that Jesus did at a pool. This is not a swimming pool. This is a pool that people would come to in hopes of receiving healing. I preached about this just recently, and I know a lot of you have watched this on the Chosen app. Boy, you would think, as much as I mentioned the Chosen, that I was getting paid royalties from them, but I promise I'm not. But if you haven't downloaded the Chosen app, get that. You will see some amazing recreations of Jesus from the time he calls his disciples from that point on. So it's really powerful. So anyways, he heals this guy at this pool, and you would think everybody would be thrilled and happy, but no, people were ticked off. The religious people did not have room for Jesus's teaching. So in this chapter, we also see Jesus make some huge claims. He claims that he's equal with God. He claims that he can give life to people. He claims that if people don't love him, they don't love God. And he claimed that God has given him the authority to judge mankind. I mean, Jesus is making some incredibly huge claims here. And then I want to read, as he's talking to these people, the religious people, about this, I want to read verses 37 to 40 to you. He says, "And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent." Speaking of himself. "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." So Jesus is getting on these people, isn't he? He says, you study the scriptures, you know the Old Testament, you know all of the prophecies that talk about the Messiah. You know the scriptures, and you think that's what saves you? Your knowledge? Now, knowledge is important, no doubt about that. And we're to know the Word of God. That's why we're doing this, or part of the reason we're doing this. We're doing this more than that, though, to change our lives. Where did knowledge take these religious elitists? Nowhere. Because why? Their hearts were hard. And Jesus was right there, the Messiah right there in front of them. And they were blind to see him. They even treated him like a criminal. You see, Jesus, we see today, he didn't come to please people. Jesus didn't say, "I have come that you may be happy with me. I have come that you would agree with me." He didn't come to be popular or to get attention. He came for truth. I want you to note, as you're reading in the next days in the New Testament, the Gospels, the tension that is arising all around Jesus. Everywhere he goes, there's tension. And the reason for that is speaking the truth brings tension. It always has, and it always will. Anytime that truth is spoken or lived out, there will be tension. So what does that mean for us? It means we have to be okay with that. I've said so often, Christianity is not for wimps. You see, the truth about Jesus was right there in the scriptures these people read all the time, but they were blinded by the world and they weren't ready to hear truth. Let me ask you today, does the truth scare you when it comes to Jesus and what he says? He says a lot of things that are countercultural. Countercultural to first century Palestine and countercultural to the 21st century in our world. I'll talk to you tomorrow.